Good to see each and every one of you, and I trust that as you listen to the Word of God, it might be a blessing and an encouragement to you. Really, there's no better place that you could be, whether it was a rainy night or not, doesn't matter. There's no better place that you could be than where the gospel is plainly, simply declared, and the Lord Jesus exalted as the Savior of sinners. I'm so glad He's my Savior, and if I could say anything at the beginning of this meeting at all, I would say, I wish He was your Savior too. Let's read tonight, and before we do that, we're going to ask God's blessing on His Word. Father, we just bow in Thy presence. So thankful that we find ourselves here before Thee, longing to know Thy power and blessing upon the Word that Thou hast given us so graciously. We thank Thee for the plenitude of all the Scriptures and all that they speak of about our Lord Jesus. And we would love, Lord, to know that kind of help that only God can grant as the gospel would be presented this evening. Graciously watch over every word, both that which is spoken and that which is heard. And Lord, grant Thy rich blessing upon it to the glory and honor of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, let's read, please, in the Gospel of Mark, first of all. We're going to read three different passages this evening. And the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, this verse may be familiar to you, but we trust that we will be able to look at it and consider it together tonight in the Gospel. Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, and verse 36. Now, these are the words of the Lord Jesus, and if you happen to have a Bible that shows His words in red, that's just to draw our attention to the value and the worth and the wonder that He spoke, and He spoke words we can understand. Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 36, here is what He says, "For what doth it profit, or what shall it profit a man, a person, if he or she shall gain the whole world?" That's a thought. The words of the Lord Jesus that follow identify for us the importance of these words. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The importance of the soul. Over, please, to the book of Matthew, just one book previous. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, please. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. Again, we have the words of the Lord Jesus as He teaches the people, as He seeks to identify for them the important things that come from heaven. So He says in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, and verse 24, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine." And that must have been wonderful. I have oftentimes wished that I could have stood even at the very extremity of a crowd and heard the Lord Jesus speak. I believe it would affect how I preach, how I can convey the gospel. But I never had that privilege in person to hear Him. But here He is and He's speaking. And I would that each of us would just take it as if He's speaking to you and to me. So He says in verse 24, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings, these words of mine, and doeth them," that is, that there's a response, "I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine," same privilege, whether the response was wise or foolish. The privilege was theirs. He says, whoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. There's one notable thing about this, that while they heard what he said and they were astonished at his doctrine, it doesn't say that they did anything about it. How could the Savior have spoken these kind of words in their hearing, saying that the wise person is the one who hears what he says and does something about it? How could they go away without a response to the Savior of sinners? One more passage, please, in the book of Acts. The book of Acts and chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. And we're going to read there, first of all, at verse 10. Because this is the desire of God. Acts chapter 4 and verse 10. Be it known unto you all. Be it known unto you all. Notice verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, that is, other than Christ. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, we have read tonight three things that are most important. The Savior himself tells us very plainly the value of the soul. He tells us himself that what he says, the words of God, what God says is most important. And here in Acts chapter 4, we're reminded that the message that God wants every person, every man and woman to hear is about something that's most important, and that is being saved for all eternity. Some things are important, and some things might seem important. Some of us think, and I think rightly so, that family and loved ones are important. Others feel that money and fame and fortune and all of those things have great value, and sports and entertainment enter the minds of many. But do you know that some people never really figure out what's important? What a tragedy to live and die. I never get it figured out. Over in Britain, there was a story carried by Associated Press about a nobleman who inherited vast wealth, a wonderful estate, and that man lived to be 93 years old. And he was one of those people who did not live a nameless kind of life, a life that didn't seem to have any direction. And he was very, very focused on something that he considered was important. And he put his vast fortune at the disposal of men who could work with him in his goal, in his desire. And he laid it all out so it could be used with the one thing he had on his mind: to produce a perfectly spotted mouse. Yeah, you heard me right. A waste of life. Trying to focus in on something. Perhaps he saw some value in, some hope in. And yet, how sad to think, he never really sorted out what the most important things are. So what is really important? The Bible emphasizes the importance of our soul. My Bible says that God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The wonder of it. I mean, the majesty of heaven was declared in that God made a person that reflected something of him. Yet he made him of dust to humble him. And God breathed into that which he had made the breath of life. And man became a living soul to exist as long as God exists, either in heaven or in hell. Now, when the Lord Jesus asked this question, and he did ask this question, what would a man gain if he got the whole world? If he had it all that any of us might dream of and more beyond, all his wealth and everything that might satisfy or thrill the mind and heart. When the Lord Jesus asked this question, it wasn't a foolish question. It wasn't an unnecessary question. He had a searching and illuminating reason for asking, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? He knew the value of the soul. He knew where man would be for all eternity. He knew the destiny. You see, he had a very specific reason for asking this question. And the reason, so far as I can see, is this. This question meant a lot to him because you mean a lot to him. And I mean a lot to him. And he wanted us to stop and consider and place a right value on your soul for eternity. I was somewhat impressed by this. As a boy of 15 and a half, I was attending some gospel meetings in Midland, Ontario, the area I live in still in Canada. And one night my aunt, who was a believer in the Lord Jesus, she invited the preachers to come over. And I'm not going to go into all those details right now, but I will just say this, that one of those preachers, he stopped and he had a word with me. And I don't remember any of his words. I don't remember a single thing he said. I'll tell you what I remember. I remember as a boy of 15 and a half, a boy who had been pretty careless and determined in my rebellion against God. I remember he put his hand on my shoulder. And yes, he said something. But God spoke even louder. Because as he put his hand on my shoulder, I thought, this man cares about my soul. And it was just like a hammer blow. And I thought, and it's time I needed to care about my soul too. What about it? What about it today? If the Lord Jesus was here in front of you and he singled you out, and we don't like to be singled out specifically, but if the Lord Jesus did it, you can count on it. He would only do it because of his great care for you. And what if he said, what if you gained everything that you're hoping for? And you had it all, but you died without Christ. You lost your soul. What would you gain? The value of the soul. Nothing is worth losing your soul for. When the Savior said, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world? What he was trying to get us to understand is this, that our soul is worth far more than anything else. And our soul is worth far more than everything else. Can I ask you, have you thought about your soul and where you will be when life comes to an end? And we're not trying to rush you through life, but we all know surprises come and we need to be ready to meet our God. What about your soul? I want you to think secondly of the words that the Lord Jesus spoke when he was talking about the messages that he brought before people. And he says, whoever hears these sayings of mine, they had heaven's stamp on them. They came from the lips of the Lord Jesus, the ultimate authority. And he says, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, he says, I will liken him to a wise man. Now, we were speaking last evening, a little of you are here, about a teenager in Lansing in north part of Toronto, and how we tried to point her to the fact that there was someone she could trust. There was someone that she could rely on. There was something that someone that she could depend upon. And when I asked her, do you know anyone who can't lie? And I saw her face brighten up. I thought, she's got it. She says, God can't lie. And the one who was here in this world, he spoke. And he spoke words that mean everything. And he speaks words still through his word, the Bible, that can mean everything to you. I think about a career soldier that we could read about in the next chapter of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8. And that career soldier came to the Lord Jesus and he told the Lord Jesus about a servant who was grievously ill. And the Lord Jesus, in such grace, says, I'll come and I'll heal him. And this career soldier who knew what it was to give commands, he says, I'm not worthy. Now, that's a truth all of us could, share in. We're not worthy. But he says, I'm not worthy that you should come to me. He says, just speak the word. And the Lord Jesus said, go, your servant is well. You know, that career soldier, he got it, didn't he? He realized the importance of getting a word from God. Oh, that this world could grasp the importance of getting a word from God. And not only getting a word from God, but as the Savior says, there's a response that's necessary to that word from God. If God has a word for you, if God has a word for me, what would we do about it? How would we respond? How would we treat it? How much would we value it? Would we trust it? Would we receive it? Would we listen? Would we obey? Would we respond? In the Bible, we read the story about a king who called for Jeremiah, the prophet, to come. And he says, is there any word from the Lord? And it seems like a genuine question. Is there a word from God for me? And Jeremiah has no question, no doubt, no hesitation. He says, there is. And if you have any desire today to get God's word, let me just say it's right in front of you. And God's word of truth can bring to you certainty and salvation. We read about a New Testament story. A woman in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7. And I believe that that woman probably was one of those who were privileged to hear Jesus speak at a distance. And maybe she even heard him say those words from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that woman at some point must have understood that he really meant what he said. And that when he said come, he meant her. And we find her at Simon's table in Luke's Gospel, chapter 7, at Jesus' feet, weeping. And the Lord Jesus doesn't even look at her. But he speaks to his host, a host who is kind of shocked that that woman was there. And he says, Simon, do you see this woman? He says, let me tell you, her sins. And maybe she kind of cringed as she thought, oh no, I hope he's not going to talk about my sins. But listen to what the Savior said to Simon. He said, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. You know what that means? They're gone. And I am sure that that woman was somewhat stunned. And maybe she wondered, did he really mean it? And we find that the Lord Jesus didn't want her in any doubt or to have any questions about it. He turns to the woman and speaks to her and he says, "Woman, your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you." Do you realize what Jesus was saying? She was forgiven and she was saved. You know, when a person knows their sins forgiven, they know what it is to be able to say, "Thank God I'm saved." And the Lord Jesus didn't even stop there. He said, "Your sins are forgiven. Your faith is saved. You just taking me at my word." You see her response? He says, "Go in peace." I can see that lady in my mind. Maybe it's not an accurate picture, but will you forgive me? As I see her going down the street, and maybe she's still weeping, but she's smiling through her tears. And as she walks, she's so thrilled to think she's saved, her sins are forgiven, she's got peace with God, something she'd never had before. And one of her friends might see her walking along the street and say, "What's with you?" Oh, she'd say, "I'm saved. My sins are gone. And for the first time in my life, I've got peace." And I can just about hear her friend saying, "You, we know what kind of a person you are." And she might say, "Well, that's true. But I'm not depending on what you say. He told me my sins are gone. He said that I'm saved. And he told me I've got peace. And I do. What God says, it's important. And it's not only important to hear it, but it's important what you do with it, how you respond to it, what you do with His invitation, what you do with His word, what you do with the truth that He presents. The Savior knew when He spoke those words, "Your sins are forgiven." He knew all those sins He would have to bear in His own body on the tree, on the cross, suffering for our iniquities. And He knew that the moment would come when every single one of them had been paid for in full, and He cries out in the darkness, "It is finished." The work was all done. And the soul that trusts Him knows what it is to be saved for all eternity. And we read about that, and I don't have a lot of time to speak about it, but let me just say this. Being saved for all eternity is what God wants you to know about. He says, "Be it known unto you." The Bible says, we must be saved. That's what God says. Can I ask you? Are you saved? Do you know your sins are forgiven? Can you say, "I'm ready for heaven"? When it talks about saved, what's it speaking about? It's talking about being saved from our sins. When it says we must be saved, it's saying we because it means you and it means me. We need to be saved. But you'll notice it says we must be saved. That means there aren't any options. That means it has to be. My dear friend, we live in a world where people think that they've got all kinds of ways to make peace with God. The truth is, nobody makes their peace with God. Christ made peace by the sacrifice of Himself on the cross. And He's the one who offers this must to you and me, that we must, we've got to be. What else could it mean? He says, neither is there salvation in any other. The Bible is very clear about this. The Bible makes it very plain whose salvation depends on. It depends on Christ, and it depends on what he's done, and nothing else will satisfy. And so when he says we must be saved, that little word be is not in there just to fill a space. When it says we must be saved, it does not say we must save ourselves. It says that someone else needs to do it. That's why heaven sent forth the Son. That's why Jesus went to the cross. That's why my Savior suffered, so that we could be saved. Important things. The most important things. Your soul. Have you thought about your soul? What God says, what do we do with it? The instructions that we need to be saved, how will we respond? Thank God, heaven responded to meet our need in the giving of the Son. And today, we offer, through the work of the Lord Jesus, salvation, vast, full,